Paul, your involvement with traditional Irish music and dance and culture goes way back. Where did you what drew you, or what was the magnet that drew you to all kinds of, again, traditional music and language and all the areas of tradition that you became interested in, and in fact made a career out of, your interest in that. Where did that all start?
Well, I suppose you have to say it really started in my own place in Washington Heights in Upper Manhattan. My parents came from County Clare, immigrated here, and they brought their own interest in traditional music and set dancing. They both were avid set dancers back in Clare before they came over. They met in Rockaway Beach, probably dancing a set somewhere. And the house would have been filled with records of the Phil Fenora and the Tullo Cayley bands and Chris Stroney, and all of them in particular from their part of Clare. So I would have been used to traditional music. They sent me to Ireland, to County Clare, when I was 12 years old to be in a farm, my mother's home place, just outside of Ennis-Dyman.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been exposed to traditional music there, and I certainly developed a gras for Ireland. And when I came back, as I grew in my music sensibilities, I was an ardent folk music follower. That's what the times were in the 60s and 70s.
Sure.
And it was just a short leap over into traditional music, which I was growing fond of. The Chieftains were starting to become more well-known, and there were different things going on. So I guess I gravitated to that, despite the fact that I'm not a musician. And I really didn't have any particular interest in becoming a musician. But it appealed to me. And the longer I would be going to sessions, I realized that I did want to participate in some way. So I took up Cayley dancing and learned that with the then neophyte Irish Arts Center, which still did not have a building, but they offered classes for Cayley dancing. So I was able to learn some dances and participate in sessions and some performances, doing my sevens and threes and all kinds of figure dancing. So from there, and then it just kind of grew. You know, from there it was became a real avocation for me. And I think probably the turning point for me to go full bore into it was 1976, when I went down to Washington, D.C. to a festival run by the Smithsonian Institution called the Festival of American Folklife. And as many of your listeners will know, 1976 was the bicentennial year in the USA. So there was a lot of focus on roots and where people came from. So the Smithsonian created a whole festival season that summer. And 1 week, the Irish got to take center stage. So they invited 26 traditional musicians and dancers over from Ireland and matched them up with 26 from America, including people like a young Liz Carroll and Michael Flatley, and many of the senior Irish immigrants who had emigrated too. So the U.S. portion of it was curated by Mick Maloney. It was the first time I would have met Mick Maloney. But it made a huge impression on me, because for the first time outside of, parish halls and local things where, Gaelically Cayleys and things like that, traditional music was put on a main stage and featured just for its own merits, for a broader audience. So it was a pretty significant event, and I guess it touched me very deeply, because my career subsequently developed into doing a lot of presentation and research and presentation for for that kind of thing. So I guess that was a pretty seminal period when I think about it. And thankfully, I had a pretty good vacation allotment from Newsweek magazine back then. So believe it or not, I then went off for 3 weeks to Ireland and went to the Flacyol, my first Flacyol in Buncrana in County Donegal, but also saw the early days of the Bothy Band and Day Dannon. So I think I've never been the same ever since.
Now, your main career was with Newsweek as journalist. Did that cover any portion of your career there? Cover any kind of music or culture?
No, I wasn't really. I really wasn't. That buffet with music journalism at that particular point, and I kind of kept that that was my hobby pretty much outside of it. But I would have obviously been interested in Ireland itself and politics around that time, as we know. That was pretty so. I would have been a pretty ardent or an active voice in helping to guide coverage both for Newsweek International, which is where I started with Newsweek. That was the overseas edition of Newsweek, as we called it, and then, eventually going into the main magazine where many of my years was spent on the news desk, assignment desk, and working with foreign affairs.
Now, and my guest is Paul Keating, friends who probably in the area of traditional Irish music and dance is one of the better known characters around you. If there's an event that takes place and we don't see you, you automatically ask if you're all right. You know, you have managed to be a part and you're in the thick of everything. And of course, for Coltus, for the Coltus Curatore in North American province, so much is covered, from workshops to music, dancing, singing, language, arts, travel, banquets, special events. It is amazing in one sense, but how often are there, again, this obviously this year is a huge occasion marking 50th anniversary of the convention itself. People will be coming from all over.
From Ireland and, Canada. When we talk about Coltus North America, we're obviously talking about Canada and across the USA. There's 46 branches of Coltus here in North America. And we basically, the branches started to form one by one going back to 1972, I suppose, people like Larasa Muraku, who was president of Coltus at the time, they were anxious to come over to America, and the path they chose was to send out a performing group from Ireland, most times calling it the Echoes of Erin. And so they would, select, artists, musicians and dancers to tour around them. North America. And from there, it proved so popular that it helped making the formation of branches that much easier as it went around and succeeded. When you think about this, this was back in the early 70s. So the idea of touring traditional groups bands or whatever still hadn't really happened. So it kind of had a huge impact in North America.
Well, obviously, for an outfit that pretty much grew, by itself, although with a common theme, of traditional music. How much of it has to do with competition? Because sometimes we get confused with that. We have a fesh, which is a competition. But take it from there. What are the? Can you spell out like a couple of the areas there that are covered, by Coltis Kilthorearn?
Well, I mean, when Coltis actually was founded in 1951, and they happened to meet in Mullingar, which was celebrated at last summer's Loch Hill and the Heron in Mullingar, 70 years after. And the idea for traditional music was at a very low ebb back then, and immigration was taking its toll as well, Ireland was kind of shaping itself as a nation to be in a free state. So one of the vehicles they chose was to have competitions in each of the counties that would lead up to, an all-Ireland competition. And that was an attempt to get people who were learning the music to set a standard for themselves across the country and to keep improving it. So the Fesh, well, for us, we call it the Loch Hill, okay?
Right.
So it's a music festival, and different from a Fesh, which is mostly having to do with dance, at least in general parlance. And, it was a competition, and of course, it built up over time, and it had a role, but the thing about formation of branches, which was very different, and which is also a big part of the Coltis story, is that the branches were really grassroots efforts at saving or introducing or fostering traditional music and dance in the localities, wherever they formed a branch. And that was all done by volunteers, too. So it wasn't a super organized effort. It was just something that kind of sprung up, and people who organized the branches, then did it. But that was something that was happening all year long, as opposed to Flout, which would be once a year something like that. So both of those things were very, very important strands. I mean, the Flout encouraged and introduced people to what the Coltis movement was all about, but it really was the branch operating in its spirit of volunteerism and promotion in the rest of the year that really were, dual dynamics, if you will, for Coltis Kilthorearn.
Yeah, as we head into the summer, we do notice, that there are a lot of festivals coming up, including one this coming weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I believe it's Saturday and Sunday in East Durham, in New York. And with great music and entertainment, not necessarily traditional music, but it is indeed, and it brings the best, out in all of us as the festivals start gearing up, as in fact it is in Ireland too. But there's nothing like a festival to, spring into, and spring into the summer. It's very good. The convention.
I mean, while we're on the Fesh, and the East Durham Irish Festival, this is the 46th year they've been doing it, and as you know, the Catskills, the Irish Catskills around East Durham in Greene County. It's pretty much a seasonal thing. So it's the Memorial Day Festival always has been considered like a kickoff for the season. and this festival. And the one thing I will say about it is that when I'm looking at the lineup, this is a very, very, it's very young in terms of the entertainment for the most part. A lot of people who were, I'm not going to give away their ages, but basically it is geared towards contemporary Irish music, but still, you know, drawing back on the ballad tradition and all the bands. But the younger bands, many of them are Irish Americans who came up, you know, following the older bands, and now they have their own version of it. So this is their kind of their weekend, pretty much, to celebrate and promote.
Well, I know that when New York City and many other areas, when they empty out next weekend, a lot of them will be heading again for East Durham and the Catskills. I want to ask you about the convention itself, which runs from, I believe, June 29 to July 2nd.
Right.
And where is that taking place?
It's going to be taking place in Bethesda, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. And we are returning to a hotel that served us very well just about 10 years ago for a convention. And it's the Marriott Hotel in Bethesda, Maryland, and Convention Center. So it's well equipped to handle this kind of weekend. A convention kind of grew up as a way of recognizing the provincial status for cultists in the whole cultist hierarchy. So we have an equal place with the four provinces in Ireland and Britain. So the convention was our way of celebrating and marking that. So there is some time set aside for business of the organization, but for the most part, it's a weekend of Irish traditional music, dance, and workshops and presentations and everything, all meant to kind of both mark and enhance the mission statement.
It's great. It's a great occasion. And also, I would like to mention that the cultus is supported by the government of Ireland, the Emigrant Support Program.
Oh, yeah.
And, and again, so for those who may have an interest in going or attending, you don't have to play an instrument, you don't have to you don't have to dance like Paul Keating, but so it's kind of open for 2 days, 3 days actually of
On a Thursday night and go right through the Sunday afternoon. In that time, there'll be four Kayleys, you know, which are open to the public. Obviously, we have set dancing workshops too, but those are during the day, and prior registration will be involved. But the public part is that sessions all over the place. There's public presentations, lectures on different topics, and there's some films involved too. You know, some of the history, different things. We'll obviously also recognize the contribution of somebody like Dr. Mick Maloney, who, interestingly enough, also kind of toiled for 50 years in America, and a pretty amazing legacy his, too, but we just kind of acknowledge that during the weekend, too. So I think the idea, is to show off, that we're still here and that we're still hoping to go forward, and that like every other Irish organization, we could do with a few more young people, in the leadership ranks. But I think one of the things that will be featured down there is a lot of very good young musicians in that area. We don't often get the chance to recognize how much work is being done, like in the greater Washington, D.C. area, and also Baltimore, Maryland. They're both very fertile, active areas. So, we had great success at this hotel before, and when we looked around, it wasn't It wasn't easy because the pandemic created a lot of problems for people who do things regularly in hotels like this, right, because the demand on hotels and the approach to them kind of changed pretty radically. So we kind of had to adjust this. We had to adjust the timing. This is happening later than we usually have the convention. Mm-hmm. But when we looked at the options and the fact that the D.C. area is kind of a destination place. People like to go there. There's lots to see and do down there. So we kind of looked at it and said, you know what, this might work out very well for us, you know. And so, we went with that later time frame. And interesting enough, it actually leads right into what I mentioned before about that Smithsonian Festival in the summer. That's a free festival that takes place on the mall right there in Washington, D.C. So that actually will be starting right after our convention. So people can get in there now. I don't know what's on the cards for them this year, but it's always very well done.
That was good. Information on this, because there is quite a bit of information on your website. That's CCE Convention 2023.com. Is that
right?
Is that the right one?
And there's another one that the sponsor organization is our branch there, and has another website too, which would be helpful, which is ccepotomac.org. Potomac is, of course, the river that runs through that area. So ccepotomac.org. And there's a whole schedule of events on there too, and information about how to still register if you want, get the hotel rooms and what have you. So,
and a special occasion indeed it is too. Paul, we're always delighted and particularly delighted that you made so much progress. And
thank you. A lot of prayers and good wishes from people, so I have to acknowledge that too. So I've had a lot of people in my corner.
And some tremendous support, of course, from your wife, a musician in her own right, and an excellent harpist and teacher, Deirdre Danaher. And again, well, we were all rooting for you and still are. Paul?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Paul Keating there, traditional music columnist for the Irish Voice newspaper and public relations officer for Cultus Culturi Éireann North America. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, IrishRadio.com worldwide.